A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. He's been picking up Euro boxes, those standard 60 by 40 centimeter industrial containers, and he's noticed something most people miss. You can find modular shelving for them locally. A basic four-shelf unit, 60 by 40 by 200 centimeters, runs about 500 shekels, roughly $150. That's competitive with IKEA. But here's the thing. In an Israeli apartment with typical ceiling heights, a 2-meter shelving unit leaves a huge amount of vertical space just sitting there unused. His question is, what if you build higher? If you're going industrial anyway, and these suppliers can fabricate custom dimensions, what's the practical maximum height? Can you push toward 2.9 meters? How do the shelves lock in place, and is there a tool-free adjustment mechanism? And for someone storing Euro boxes that are mostly 23 centimeters tall, what specific shelving spec should he be looking for?
This is one of those questions where the answer changes once you actually measure your ceiling. Israeli apartments built in the last 30 years, the standard ceiling height is 2.7 meters. Older buildings, pre-1980s, you'll often find 2.85 to 3 meters. So 2.9 isn't an awkward dimension at all. It's exactly what you want if you're in an older building and you're willing to use a step stool for the top shelf.
Which means the standard 2-meter unit is leaving 70 to 100 centimeters of air above it. That's basically an entire extra shelf row, maybe two.
It's worse than that, because the top of a 2-meter unit becomes a dust-collecting horizontal surface that you can't really use effectively without a ladder anyway. So you're not just losing storage volume, you're creating a maintenance problem. The question of maximum practical height really comes down to three things. 1. Your actual floor-to-ceiling measurement at the exact spot where the unit will live. Israeli apartments are notorious for uneven floors and ceilings, so measure at both ends and the middle. 2. Whether you can physically lift a loaded Eurobox above your shoulders. A 60 by 40 Eurobox filled with books can weigh 25 kilos. And 3. Anchoring. Anything above roughly 1.8 meters needs to be anchored to the wall, which is non-negotiable for safety, especially in a seismic zone.
We're in a seismic zone.
The Dead Sea Transform runs right through here. The last major quake was 1927, a 6.2 magnitude. Geologists say we're statistically overdue for another. So wall anchoring isn't just landlord paranoia, it's actual physics. The shelf that tips over in an earthquake is a missile aimed at whoever's sleeping in the next room.
Which brings me to the adjustment mechanism question, because the anchoring solution and the shelf design are connected. The standard industrial shelving you're looking at. And I'm assuming we're talking about boltless rivet shelving, which is the dominant form factor for this kind of home industrial crossover, uses a system of keyhole slots and tabs. The uprights have rows of slots punched into them at regular intervals, usually every 25 or 30 millimeters. The shelf beams have tabs that slot into those holes and lock downward. No tools required for assembly or adjustment. You literally tap the beams into place with a rubber mallet. A rubber mallet is a tool.
It is technically a tool, but it's not a wrench or a screwdriver. The point is, you're not fastening anything. The entire structure is held together by gravity and friction. To adjust the shelf height, you tap the beam upward from underneath to disengage the tabs, move it to the new position, tap it back down. Takes about 30 seconds per shelf.
The question is really about the slot pitch, the distance between those adjustment holes. If you've got slots every 25 millimeters, you can fine-tune shelf heights to within a couple centimeters of what you need. If the spacing is 50 millimeters, you're going to have gaps.
That matters enormously when you're trying to maximize the number of Euro boxes per vertical column. A standard Euro box in the 23 centimeter height needs about 25 centimeters of clearance to slide in and out comfortably. You don't want to be dragging the box against the shelf above it every time. So if you have a 2.9 meter upright, you subtract maybe 10 centimeters for the base clearance and the top beam, you've got 2.8 meters of usable vertical space. Divide by 25 centimeters per level, that's 11.2 levels. Call it 11 levels if you want breathing room. The standard 2-meter unit gives you about 7 levels. So, you're gaining 4 levels, a 57% increase in storage capacity for the same floor footprint. That's the difference between needing one unit or two.
That's the whole argument for going industrial in the first place. You're not buying furniture, you're buying a storage density equation. Now, on the specific shelving spec to look for, you want boltless rivet shelving with a load capacity of at least 175 kilos per shelf, which is the standard medium duty rating. The upright should be cold rolled steel, typically 1.5 to 2 millimeters thick. The shelf decks themselves, for Euro boxes, you want either solid steel panels or wire decks. Wire decks are lighter and allow airflow, which matters if you're storing anything that might trap moisture. But solid steel panels are usually cheaper and perfectly fine for dry indoor storage. The critical dimension is the depth. Euro boxes are 40 centimeters deep. Your shelf needs to be at least 40 centimeters deep, ideally 42 to 45, so the boxes sit fully on the shelf rather than overhanging. The overhang problem is real. I've seen people put Euro boxes on shelves that are 35 centimeters deep, and the box just juts out by 5 centimeters, which doesn't sound like much until you walk past it and snag your shirt on the corner every single day.
Or until the weight distribution shifts forward and the whole thing wants to tip. The center of gravity of a loaded Eurobox should be over the shelf deck, not in front of it. So the spec to look for is a shelving unit with a depth of at least 400 millimeters, a width of at least 650 to 700 millimeters, because a 60 centimeter wide box needs some side clearance to slide in, and an adjustable height that can reach your target, whether that's 2.7, 2.9, or 3 meters. And you want the slot pitch to be 25 millimeters or less.
The practical answer is yes. Build to 2.9 meters if your ceiling allows it. The awkwardness isn't in the dimension, it's in the top shelf access. You'll need a small folding step stool, which you can store on a hook on the side of the unit itself.
That's a nice touch. The unit becomes self-contained. The step stool lives with the shelving. And since we're talking about industrial shelving that's designed to be erected and dismantled easily, the whole point of boltless rivet systems is that they go up in 20 minutes with one person and a mallet, and come down just as fast. You're not making a permanent architectural commitment. When you move, you tap the beams out, the uprights come apart, everything stacks flat. The Euro boxes themselves aren't as stable when empty. The whole system is designed for relocation.
Which connects back to what we've talked about before, the rental reality. If you're moving every 2 or 3 years, your storage system should be designed for disassembly. IKEA furniture usually survives one move, maybe two, before the particle board starts to crumble around the fastener holes. Steel rivet shelving doesn't have that failure mode. There's nothing to strip, nothing to wear out except maybe the plastic feet.
The plastic feet are replaceable. They're a standard part you can order from any industrial shelving supplier for a few shekels each. Now, let's talk about the tool-free adjustment mechanism in more detail, because there's actually a distinction here that matters for home use. The standard keyhole and tab system I described is already tool-free in practice, but there's a variant called a taper lock or wedge lock system that's even faster. You literally push down on the beam and it locks. To release, you tap upward with the heel of your hand. No mallet needed at all.
Which is the shelving equivalent of a quick-release bicycle wheel. You're trading a bit of load capacity for speed of adjustment.
Wedge lock systems typically top out around 120 kilos per shelf, which is still more than enough for Euro boxes full of books. The standard keyhole tab system with a mallet can handle 250 kilos per shelf and up. So the wedge lock is the apartment dweller's choice. You're not storing engine blocks, you're storing books and kitchen equipment and winter clothes.
What's the price difference?
Negligible at this scale. A custom height wedge lock unit at 2.9 meters with 6 or 7 shelf levels in the 60 by 40 footprint from an Israeli industrial shelving supplier. We're looking at somewhere between 600 and 900 shekels, depending on the gauge of steel and whether you're getting solid or wire decks. That's roughly $180 to $270. Compare that to the IKEA 5R system, which is solid pine and needs to be treated or painted if you don't want it to warp. A 2-meter tall IVR with 4 shelves runs about 450 shekels. The industrial unit is taller, stronger, more adjustable, and costs maybe 30% more for 50% more capacity. And it'll outlast the IVR by decades.
The IVR is basically the Toyota Corolla of shelving. Reliable, ubiquitous, and utterly indifferent to aesthetics. But it's not designed for vertical maximization. The side rails top out at 206 centimeters, and the uprights aren't rated for much beyond that. You can stack extensions, but at that point you're building a Jenga tower out of pine.
It expands and contracts with humidity. In an Israeli apartment near the coast, you're looking at significant seasonal movement. Steel doesn't care. Steel has a coefficient of thermal expansion that's effectively irrelevant at indoor temperatures. So your shelf heights stay consistent year-round, which matters when you've dialed in your Eurobox clearances to the centimeter.
There's something almost therapeutic about that. The shelf doesn't change. The box always fits. The world outside is chaos, but the Eurobox slides in and out with the same clearance it had in January.
That's the promise of industrial design. It's not supposed to delight you. It's supposed to be boring in a way that frees up your attention for things that actually matter.
Let's get concrete. If someone's walking into an Israeli industrial shelving supplier, and there are several in every major city, these are the companies that outfit warehouses, factories, and military logistics centers. What do they actually ask for?
They ask for boltless rivet shelving, medium duty, 60 by 40 footprint, custom height. Then they specify the height. 2.7 meters for standard new build apartments. 2.9 for older buildings, 3 meters if they've got high ceilings and want to go all the way. They specify the number of shelf levels, and this is where you want to think in terms of Eurobox columns. If your boxes are 23 centimeters tall and you want a finger's width of clearance above each one, you're looking at roughly 25 centimeters per level. Divide your usable upright height by 25, round down, that's your number of shelf levels. For a 2.9 meter unit, that's 11 levels. Then specify solid or wire decks and confirm the slot pitch is 25 millimeters or less. Finally, ask for wall anchoring brackets included in the package. Most suppliers throw them in for free if you ask.
The wall anchoring brackets are the part that people skip because they think it's optional. It's not optional. A 2.9 meter shelving unit with 11 levels of loaded Euroboxes has a very high center of gravity. If that thing goes over, it's not tipping gently. It's coming down like a tree.
The physics here is worth understanding. The base width of a 60 centimeter deep shelving unit means the center of gravity has to shift more than 30 centimeters forward before the unit tips. With a 2 meter unit loaded evenly, the center of gravity is about a meter off the ground. The tipping angle is roughly the arctangent of 30 over 100. That's about 17 degrees. You'd have to shove it pretty hard. With a 2.9 meter unit, the center of gravity is at 1.45 meters. The tipping angle shrinks to about 12 degrees. That's a much smaller shove. And in an earthquake, the lateral forces can easily exceed that.
The taller you build, the more the anchoring isn't just good practice. It's the difference between a storage system and a hazard.
The anchoring itself is straightforward. A steel L bracket that bolts to the upright and screws into a wall stud or a masonry anchor. In Israeli apartments, you're almost always drilling into concrete block or hollow brick, so you need the right anchors. A standard 8mm masonry anchor with a steel screw, 2 per upright, is more than sufficient. The whole anchoring process takes about 10 minutes with a hammer drill.
Which brings us to the tool question. The shelf adjustment is tool-free, or nearly tool-free, but the initial installation requires a drill for the wall anchors, and possibly a rubber mallet for the beam assembly. That's still dramatically simpler than assembling IKEA furniture, which requires an Allen key, a screwdriver, and the patience of a saint.
The instructions are not a series of wordless pictograms drawn by a Swedish existentialist. Industrial shelving typically comes with a one-page diagram that shows which part goes where, and the parts themselves are designed so you can't assemble them wrong. The uprights have a front and back orientation. The beams only fit one way. It's idiot-proof by design because the people assembling these in warehouses are workers who need to get the job done quickly.
The Swedish existentialist pictogram is a whole genre of frustration. The little cartoon man with a question mark over his head warning you not to use the wrong screw. I've spent more time decoding IKEA instructions than I've spent actually building the furniture.
Then you finish, and you have 3 extra screws and a lingering sense of dread. With steel rivet shelving, if you have extra parts, you've visibly done something wrong because everything has an obvious home. There's no ambiguity.
Let's talk about the Euro boxes themselves for a moment, because the shelving spec depends on what you're storing. The prompt mentions 23 centimeter tall boxes for the 60 by 40 footprint. That's the most common height, but Euro boxes come in a whole range. You've got the 12 centimeter height for shallow items, the 17, the 23, the 32, and the 42. If you're mixing heights, your shelf spacing needs to accommodate the tallest box on each level.
This is where the 25mm slot pitch becomes crucial. If you've got a shelf level dedicated to 32cm boxes, you need about 34cm of clearance. With 25mm increments, you can set the beam height at exactly 34cm above the shelf below. With 50mm increments, you're either at 30 or 35. One's too tight, one wastes space. Over 8 or 9 levels, that wasted space adds up to an entire lost shelf level.
The slot pitch is the hidden spec that determines whether you actually achieve the storage density you're paying for. It's the difference between a system that fits your boxes perfectly and one that always feels slightly off.
Here's the thing most people don't realize. The slot pitch is a manufacturing decision that costs the supplier nothing extra. The holes are punched by a CNC turret press. Changing the spacing is a software parameter. So if you're ordering custom shelving and you ask for 25mm pitch, the supplier just punches the holes at that spacing. It's not a premium feature. You just have to know to ask for it.
Which is the recurring theme here. The industrial suppliers have capabilities that the consumer market doesn't even know to request. They're used to dealing with warehouse managers who specify everything down to the millimeter. A residential customer walking in and asking for a 2.9-meter unit with 25mm slot pitch and wall anchors, that's not a weird request. That's Tuesday.
The price point reflects that. These companies aren't doing retail markup. They're selling to businesses that compare quotes from 3 suppliers and go with the cheapest. The margins are thin, the pricing is transparent, and the steel is priced by weight plus fabrication. You're not paying for a brand, a showroom, or a lifestyle. You're paying for steel and labor.
The lifestyle-free storage unit. The anti-IKEA?
IKEA sells you a vision of your life. The industrial shelving supplier sells you a rectangle made of steel, and the rectangle is better at its job.
If someone's convinced, they want to go industrial, they've measured their ceiling, they're ready to maximize their vertical space. What's the step-by-step? Walk me through it.
Step 1, measure your ceiling height at 3 points along the wall where the unit will go, left, center, right. Take the lowest measurement and subtract 5 centimeters for installation clearance. That's your maximum upright height. Step 2, measure your Euro boxes. Even within the standard 23cm height, there's variation between manufacturers. The actual external height might be 22.5 or 23.5. Add 2 centimeters for finger clearance above each box. That's your shelf spacing per level. Step 3, divide your usable upright height by your per level spacing, round down. That's your number of shelf levels. Step 4, call the supplier and give them the upright height, the number of shelf levels, the depth, at least 40 centimeters, ideally 42, and the width, which for a single column of 60 centimeter boxes should be about 65 to 70 centimeters to allow side clearance. Step 5, specify 25mm slot pitch, boltless rivet or wedge lock assembly, and wall anchoring brackets included. Step 6, confirm the load rating per shelf, at least 100 kilos for medium duty, which is more than enough for Euro boxes. Step 7, ask about delivery. These units are heavy. A 2.9-meter unit with steel decks can weigh 60 kilos or more. You want it delivered to your door, not to the street.
Step 8. When it arrives, don't try to carry the box up the stairs by yourself. I speak from experience. Steel uprights are dense. A 2.9-meter upright is basically a very long, very heavy metal spear.
They're also awkward to maneuver around stairwell corners. The delivery company will usually bring it to your floor if you arrange it in advance, worth the extra 50 shekels.
Let's talk about the supplier landscape here, because the prompt mentions that the companies manufacture everything in-house and can accommodate custom dimensions. That's true of the major Israeli industrial shelving companies. They're not resellers. They have fabrication facilities, usually in the industrial zones outside the major cities. They cut, punch, and powder coat the steel on site. So when they say we can do pretty much everything, they mean it. They control the entire production process.
That's a structural advantage over IKEA's model. IKEA designs for global manufacturing and flat pack shipping. Every product has to fit in a box that can be stacked on a pallet and shipped from a factory in Poland to a store in Netanya. That constraint shapes everything. The maximum length of a component is determined by the box, not by what would be optimal for the product. Industrial shelving doesn't have that constraint. The uprights come as single pieces. If you want a 3-meter upright, they fabricate a 3-meter upright and deliver it on a truck. No flat pack compromises.
The flat pack compromise is one of those invisible forces that shapes modern life. We don't notice it, but our furniture is designed around the dimensions of a shipping container and a warehouse pallet. The 2-meter shelf unit exists because it fits in a box that fits on a pallet, not because 2 meters is the optimal storage height for a human being.
The standard ceiling height in many countries is 2.4 meters, 8 feet, which means a 2-meter shelf unit leaves a 40-centimeter gap. That gap is the physical manifestation of the flat pack compromise. It's wasted volume that exists because the box couldn't be longer.
Going industrial is partly about opting out of that compromise. You're buying from a supply chain that doesn't have the flat pack constraint. The shelf height is determined by your ceiling, not by the maximum dimension of a cardboard box.
The cardboard box thing is worth dwelling on because the prof mentions hating single-use cardboard during moves. The standard moving box is a single-use product. It's manufactured, shipped, used once for maybe a week, and then recycled or thrown away. The Eurobox replaces that cycle with a durable container that lasts decades. A typical plastic Eurobox has a service life of 10 to 15 years in industrial use, and longer in residential use where it's not being thrown around by forklifts. When it does eventually crack, the polypropylene is recyclable. So you're replacing a single-use product with a reusable one, and the shelving itself is steel, which is infinitely recyclable. The whole system is basically a 100-year storage solution.
The 100-year shelf. That's a weirdly compelling idea. You buy it once. You move it from apartment to apartment. You adjust the shelf heights as your storage needs change. And when you're done with it, someone else melts it down and makes something else. No landfill, no particle board crumbling into microplastics.
The economics work out over time. Let's say you're a renter who moves every 3 years. Over a decade, that's 3 moves. If each move requires, say, 30 cardboard boxes at 15 shekels each, that's 450 shekels in single-use boxes, plus tape, which is another 50 shekels per move. That's 600 shekels total, about $180, just on disposable packing materials. A set of 20 euro boxes at roughly 25 shekels each is 500 shekels. They last through all 3 moves and beyond. The shelving unit at, say, 750 shekels is a one-time purchase. Total investment, 1,250 shekels. The IKEA alternative, a shelving unit that might survive 2 moves plus cardboard boxes each time, is going to cost you at least as much over the same period, and you'll generate a pile of waste in the process.
The industrial route isn't just more functional. Over a decade of renting, it's cheaper.
Cheaper, stronger, more adjustable, and less wasteful. It's one of those rare cases where the utilitarian option wins on every axis. There's no trade-off. You're not sacrificing aesthetics for durability, because a powder-coated steel shelving unit in matte gray or black looks perfectly fine in a modern apartment. It's not beautiful, but it's not ugly, it's just like a refrigerator.
The refrigerator of shelving. It does its job, you don't think about it, and if someone asks about it, you say it came with the place, even though it very much did not.
That's the highest compliment you can pay to storage infrastructure. If your guests don't notice it, it's working.
Let's circle back to the adjustment mechanism question, because there's one more option we haven't covered. Some industrial shelving systems use a cantilever-style beam that clips onto the upright without any tab and slot mechanism at all. The beam just hooks over the upright and tightens with a thumb screw. Completely tool-free, infinitely adjustable rather than incremental, and very quick to reconfigure. The trade-off is load capacity. These systems are usually light-duty, rated for maybe 75 kilos per shelf. But for Euro boxes full of clothes or kitchen equipment, that's plenty.
The cantilever clip system is more common in retail display shelving than in warehouse shelving, but it's absolutely available for the 60 by 40 footprint. The infinite adjustability is nice in theory. You can set a shelf at exactly the height you want, not at the nearest 25 millimeter increment. In practice, though, infinite adjustability means you have to measure and level every shelf individually, which adds time to the setup. The incremental system with tight pitch gives you most of the benefit with much less fiddling. I'd recommend the 25mm keyhole system for most people. The wedge lock if you want the absolute fastest adjustment. The cantilever clip only if you're going to be reconfiguring the shelves frequently, like weekly.
Which almost no one does. Most people set up their shelves once and then live with the configuration for years.
The adjustability matters most at setup time, and then maybe once every couple of years when your storage needs change. The keyhole system handles that perfectly well.
To summarize the recommendation for the specific use case in the prompt, 60 by 40 footprint, boltless rivet shelving, 2.9 meter uprights if the ceiling allows, 11 shelf levels at roughly 25 centimeter spacing. 25 millimeter slot pitch, medium duty load rating, solid or wire decks, wall anchoring brackets included, from an Israeli industrial supplier. Total cost somewhere between 600 and 900 shekels, and a folding step stool on a side hook for the top shelves.
That's the spec. And I'd add one thing. When you order, ask for the uprights to have leveling feet. Most industrial shelving comes with adjustable plastic feet that screw into the bottom of the uprights. These let you compensate for uneven floors, which, again, Israeli apartments, without shimming. A quarter turn adjusts the height by about a millimeter. It's a small detail that makes the difference between a unit that sits dead level and one that wobbles slightly every time you slide a box in.
The wobble is the enemy of satisfaction. You can have the perfect storage density equation, but if the unit wobbles, you hate it every time you use it.
The leveling feet also protect the floor. Steel uprights on tile will scratch. The plastic feet prevent that. If you're on marble or terrazzo, common in older Jerusalem apartments, you definitely want the feet.
Terrazzo is basically a historical artifact at this point. You don't want to be the person who scratches a 60-year-old terrazzo floor with a steel shelving unit.
That's a conversation with the landlord that you do not want to have. The phrase irreparable damage to original flooring is not something you want to hear in Hebrew.
There's a whole vocabulary of dread that renters develop. The flooring damage conversation, the mold behind the wardrobe discovery, the why is there a hole in this wall inquiry.
Industrial shelving, properly installed with leveling feet and wall anchors, avoids most of those conversations. The feet protect the floor. The anchors prevent the tip over that would put a hole in the wall. The steel doesn't trap moisture against the wall the way a solid-backed wardrobe does. It's almost like the system was designed by people who actually thought about the failure modes.
Which is the difference between industrial design and consumer design in a nutshell. Industrial design assumes the user is going to abuse the product and designs for that. Consumer design assumes the user is going to follow the instructions perfectly and designs for the happy path.
The happy path is a lie. The happy path is the path where you never move. Your floors are perfectly level, your walls are straight, and you never overload a shelf. In reality, you move every 3 years. Your floor has a 2 centimeter slope you didn't notice until you installed shelving, and that box of books is heavier than you thought.
The box of books is always heavier than you thought. That's basically a law of physics.
The density of paper is remarkably high. A standard 60 by 40 euro box filled with hardcover books weighs about 28 kilos. Most consumer shelving is rated for 15 to 20 kilos per shelf. You put 2 boxes of books on an IKEA Billy shelf and you're already past the rated load. The shelf sags, the particle board creeps, and eventually the fasteners pull out. Industrial shelving at 175 kilos per shelf doesn't even notice.
The Billy bookshelf is the most sold piece of furniture in the world, and it's rated for 30 kilos per shelf, which sounds like a lot until you realize that's basically 1.5 euro boxes of books. The Billy is designed for displaying decorative objects and maybe a few paperbacks. It's not designed for actual dense storage.
That's the fundamental mismatch. People use consumer furniture for storage density that it was never engineered to handle. The furniture fails, they blame themselves for overloading it, and they buy another one. The industrial alternative handles the load without complaint and costs less over time. The only barrier is knowing that it exists and how to specify it.
Which is what this whole conversation is really about. The knowledge gap between what's available and what people know to ask for. The industrial suppliers are there. They're happy to sell to individuals. They just don't advertise to the residential market because that's not their business model. You have to know to walk in the door.
Now you do. If you're listening to this and you're in Israel, the suppliers are in the industrial zones of every major city. Look for industrial shelving or warehouse shelving. The Hebrew term is Aronei Machetet or Madafe Machetet. Bring your measurements, ask for the spec we've outlined, and expect to pay somewhere in the range of 600 to 900 shekels for a custom height unit. Delivery is usually within a week.
The other thing worth mentioning. These suppliers often sell Euro boxes too, and their prices are usually better than what you'd pay at a retail hardware store. If you're buying shelving and boxes from the same supplier, you can sometimes negotiate a package discount.
The boxes will fit perfectly because the supplier knows their own shelving dimensions. No guessing, no, will this box fit on this shelf? Anxiety. The 60 by 40 Euro box and the 60 by 40 shelving unit are designed for each other. It's a standard that's been refined over decades of industrial logistics. The DIN standard for Euro containers dates back to the 1950s, and it's been optimized for pallet dimensions, truck beds, and warehouse racking ever since. You're buying into an ecosystem that's been debugged by millions of warehouse workers over 70 years.
Debugged by warehouse workers. That's a quality assurance process that no consumer product ever undergoes. The IKEA Kallax wasn't tested by someone loading and unloading it 8 hours a day for 5 years. The Eurobox was.
That's why the Eurobox has features that a consumer storage bin doesn't. The reinforced rim that allows stacking. The nesting geometry that lets empty boxes collapse into each other. The standardized label holder on the front face. The hand grips that are actually comfortable to use. Every detail has been refined through brutal real-world use.
The label holder is a small thing, but it's the kind of small thing that makes a system work. You label the box, you can see what's in it without opening it. You can reorganize without relabeling. It's the storage equivalent of a well-designed API. The interface is consistent, predictable, and documented.
When you combine labeled Euro boxes with adjustable industrial shelving, you get something that approaches a proper inventory system. You can number the shelves, number the boxes, keep a spreadsheet, or use an open source inventory app, and suddenly you know exactly where everything is. No more, I know I have a spare phone charger somewhere, rummaging through 6 drawers.
I may or may not have a spreadsheet that tracks the contents of every Euro box in my apartment.
I would expect nothing less.
It started as a moving exercise, and then I just kept updating it. It's surprisingly satisfying to know that the box on shelf 3, position 2, contains the spare cables and adapters.
That's the kind of thing that sounds obsessive until you need a specific cable, and you find it in 30 seconds instead of 30 minutes. Then it just seems sensible.
The line between obsessive and sensible is whether it works. If it works, you're organized. If it doesn't, you're a holder with a spreadsheet.
The spreadsheet costs nothing to maintain. It's just a text file.
Let's pull up for a moment and address the broader question embedded in the prompt, which is about the philosophy of home storage. The prompt isn't just asking for a product recommendation. It's asking whether the industrial approach, building higher, using professional-grade materials, treating storage as infrastructure rather than furniture, is actually the right approach for a renter. And I think the answer is yes. With the caveat that it requires a mindset shift. You have to stop thinking of storage as something you buy at a furniture store and start thinking of it as something you specify.
The mindset shift is the hard part. We're conditioned to think of home storage as a consumer product category. You go to IKEA, you pick a wardrobe or a shelving unit from a catalog, you assemble it, and that's your storage solution. The idea of calling an industrial supplier and specifying dimensions feels foreign. It feels like something a business would do, not an individual. But the supplier doesn't care that you're an individual. Money is money. A sale is a sale. The only difference is that you have to know what to ask for.
That's the knowledge work that most people don't want to do. They'd rather pay a premium for a pre-designed solution than invest an hour in learning how to specify a better one. Which is a perfectly reasonable trade-off for some things. But for something you're going to use every day for a decade, The hour of research pays off enormously.
It's the same dynamic as buying a computer. You can buy a pre-built machine from a big brand manufacturer, or you can spec your own components and build it yourself. The pre-built is easier. The custom build is better and often cheaper. The difference is the knowledge required. Once you have the knowledge, the decision is obvious.
The knowledge in this case is about four things: ceiling height, box dimensions, slot pitch, and load rating. That's it. Four numbers, and you can specify a storage system that will outlast your tenure in any apartment you ever rent.
The slot pitch is the one that most people miss, and it's the one that makes the biggest difference in day-to-day usability. A shelf that's 2 centimeters too low means your boxes scrape when you slide them in. A shelf that's 2 centimeters too high means you're wasting vertical space. Over 11 levels, that's 22 centimeters of wasted space, basically an entire extra shelf level lost to poor adjustment granularity. The 25 millimeter pitch pays for itself in storage density.
The spec is measure, divide, specify, anchor, and then enjoy the strange satisfaction of a storage system that actually fits your space and your boxes.
The strange satisfaction of infrastructure that works. It's not exciting. It's not beautiful. It's just correct.
Correct is underrated. And now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In the late 1600s, a Dutch trader's diary from a Hokkaido outpost records a local Ainu gambling game of patolli, noting that a player who rolled a score of 1 on the beans was required to forfeit not only their stake, but also one article of clothing, leading to several documented instances of matches ending with participants in states of complete undress despite the freezing weather.
They played strip patolli in Hokkaido in the 1600s.
Seems like a powerful incentive to roll well.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, my weird prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.